You're listening to Talking Heads, and on today's programme we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS in the build-up to the Isle of Man general election on September the 29th. This hour of the programme we're joined in the studio by Peter Hill, who's standing in Douglas North on a Liberal Vannin Party ticket. Good afternoon, Peter, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stu. Hi.
I'm fine, thank you. All the better for seeing you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your background.
Well, firstly, I think you do look a lot better in the flesh than what I've seen. In the
Good face photo. For radio. Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect, yes. well, myself, I'm 61, sort of I'm into my free bus pass zone, which I haven't used, actually, I'll be honest with you. But I'm not Manx, and sorry to say, I was born in Tunbridge in Kent. And I was then immediately hijacked over to New Zealand, where my father was a doctor, and then came back and stayed variously in the United Kingdom before coming to the Isle of Man upon retirement in 2001.
And what made you decide to move to the Isle of Man?
I had relatives here in the 50s, and we used to come over here on holiday. And when we retired, or well, retired, we said, let's do something. We'd been here since on holiday, and it's a really superb place. We thought, let's do something completely random and go to the Isle of Man. And best decision. It is so nice, and the thing that is particularly nice is the people. That,
yes.
Unlike sort of, I'm not going to say unkind things about our Celtic neighbours, but sometimes, unless you've been living there for 1,000 years,
yeah,
you're rejected. But everybody here has been so friendly, and it's superb.
And how long have you had an interest in politics?
Well, sort of on and off, I suppose, since at school when. When I was in my sort of senior school, and an election was on, and we had to have the school election, so I stood, and I actually stood as a Conservative, and as it was primarily a socialist school, I not only did I lose, I also got rather beaten up. So that was the end of that persuasion. But
That won't happen here. If you
I jolly well hope not. Yeah. But my daughter, oddly enough, is she says she got it from me. And she's now, in fact, standing as a Labour candidate in a by-election in London.
Oh, I would think that dinners in your house are quite busy then in terms of discussion.
Don't go there. She's listening.
Fantastic. Good for her. So, and what made you decide to get involved in Manx politics? Because, well, 10 years is still relatively new as somebody who's moved
to
Ireland.
It is, but when I came over here to retire, I didn't want to just sit here and take the money, so to speak. I wanted to get involved. So, and then I do voluntary work for Manx National Heritage, and then I got stitched up. That is the right word, with standing in for Lonnon's clerk for 5 weeks while she went on holiday.
Yeah.
But in fact, she'd resigned and she was trying to find some hapless blighter to go in there and take her place. And that was 8 years ago.
Right.
Consequently, as life progresses, I ended up by getting fed up with shouting at the radio. And sometimes you've got to say, well, hang on a minute, there's no point shouting at the radio. It's best to start, put your head above the parapet,
yeah,
like I think 56 very, very brave people have done, and they're to be applauded for that.
I think so too, yeah, absolutely.
Because this is probably the most scary thing I've ever done, because I just normally get the job done.
Yes.
So that's why I'm here.
And how long ago did you decide to stand as an MHK?
It's floated through my mind on and off for a while, and then you think, life's good.
Yeah.
And you sort of walk away, or the priorities of life change, and so you move away. And that's really why. And then it sort of happened rather fast, in actual fact, for me, because 9 days ago I was just an ordinary guy, and then I was asked if I'd mind standing as a Liberal Vannin MHK in Douglas North, which I was very happy to do, actually. So.
And what sort of response are you getting? Because it's a fairly established constituency, Douglas North, isn't it?
It is. I mean, in the last 9 days, I've had to not only... although I understand and I agree with the principles of Liberal Vannin. I haven't looked in the minutiae because that's taken quite a long time to actually formulate the overall detail as such. But the actual basic points there are absolutely first class. And so I've had to do that. I've done an awful lot of research. And really at this point, I'd just like to clarify a comment I made yesterday when I referred to the census 2006 and about the VAT and public concern.
Oh, this was on mandate, yeah.
That's right. In actual fact, my brain had transferred that information from a survey onto the census, and whilst the information is correct, the source I quoted wasn't. But at that, on that point, the issues I made are still as true today as they were when I inadvertently transferred the data source.
Oh, I do it all the time. Yeah, I start off saying something and then halfway through the sentence forget what I was going to say. So
you must be over 60 then.
No, not quite. Birthday yesterday. I'm well on the way, I'll tell you. Just approaching middle age is the way that I prefer to think about
but
it.
But having said that, I've then travelled around Douglas North and I've tried to speak to as many people as possible in the different areas of Douglas North. And Douglas North is so diverse in wealth and facilities, and this, so you've got to sort of pick around. And so far, I've got to be honest with you, everybody has been nice. You know, I'm not Manx, I don't live in Douglas North, and they've been really good. And so, I mean, it's going to be challenging. I mean, any sort of election is challenging.
Yeah. What made you decide to become a part of the Liberal Vanning Party, or did the Liberal Vanning Party sort of recruit you to stand in Douglas North?
It wasn't really that. It's that when a number of years ago, at a local authority election, two new members joined, and they were both Liberal Vanning, and it seemed prudent then to look, you know, as the clerk, you actually need to know where your members are coming from, what their background is and whatever. So at that point, I did look slightly deeper into Liberal Vanning to make sure that, well, from my own point of view, it was compatible, because whether there were likely to be any issues that could be created and this sort of stuff. And pretty well, 9 out of 10 points, I thought, yeah, I can...
So you don't think that being part of a party machine is going to hamper your own independence?
No, not at all. I mean, what I've found so far is that they're free thinkers, and there isn't actually a mandate. If you actually don't agree with something they've said, you can say so.
Yeah.
I have to say with regret, with the Council of Ministers, if you say something that you disagree with, that's probably going to cost you $20,000.
Well,
possibly.
Yeah. And then there's collective responsibility, but I expect that any organisation has that to a degree, doesn't it?
You do have to form a team, but you've got to encourage. If you stifle free thought within a team with common goals, you will never actually find out what the real issues are, because somebody might sort of think, this is a problem, but if I mention this, then this might happen and that might happen. So you might not say it. You've got to encourage people, and it's even the simple thing, it's far best to encourage people to be truthful.
Yeah.
Rather than not.
Well, your background might be useful for that. 25 years in the Met as a prosecution officer. Mm. Does that prepare you well for politics, or is that a bit of a narrow career path, do you think?
No, it's not. I mean, the prosecution's office was a part of my career within the police. And one thing it does do is it gives you a very, very good insight into the way people are able to deal with life in their situations, because all the time you're seeing situations and pickles, if you like, that people have got themselves into that were avoidable. And in that capacity, you can actually help people. And I have dealt with many people. I've actually been able to think, well, you know, this guy, he's just made a mistake. Treat him properly. Say, well, this is just a mistake. Go to the magistrate and say, look, yes, he's done this. He admits it openly.
Yeah.
But this really is a one-off. And you hint the guidance through.
Even as a prosecutor, you do that, do you? I can imagine that the defence would try and do that to try and cut deals, but it surprises me to hear that the prosecution would.
Well, the surprising thing was that where I was, I used to prosecute a Marylebone Magistrates Court, in those days was actually the busiest Metropolitan Magistrates Court in the country. And very often people would come to court and they wouldn't have a solicitor, they weren't entitled to legal aid, and they were really dependent on the system, and you could see that. And maybe they couldn't speak. Well, if someone doesn't speak up for them, who is? And so, I mean, I don't want to seem bombastically arrogant, but I did acquire a certain reputation at the court that if I did actually speak for somebody, then the stipend would know, the stipend magistrate would know why.
And do you think that that gives you a good background for politics in the Isle of Man, though? What sort of strengths do you think you can bring to the next government?
I would like to think that I can look at things objectively. And impartially, because certainly in that role you have to. And also, when you see something that's got to be fought for, you jolly well fight for it. And if you're wrong also, you've got to be, you know, hands up. That's where I am. And I think you've got to be. And in politics, you might drive down a particular course. If during that course it is seen to be wrong, you think this isn't right, you've got to say so. Because if you don't, you're just going to end up in a corner. And so you've got to have the flexibility of mind.
And you say that you don't live in the constituency itself. So why did you stand in Douglas North? Was that a tactical decision by the Lib Vans?
No, they asked me to. They felt that the residents of Douglas North hadn't really had the opportunity for change, and therefore the Liberal Vanning Party saw this as it's a once only opportunity for really, because this election is so important. Everybody needs to go out there, because if you don't, in 5 years' time, you might think, well, I wish I just put a cross on there. So at least even if it didn't work, at least I tried to get my point over.
Very important. It's better to do something and make a mistake, I think, sometimes, than to just not do it and wonder always, isn't it?
Well, it is, because I mean, at least you say, well, I tried.
Yeah.
But if you just say, there's no point in voting because nothing will change, well, the reason why things won't change is because people don't vote.
You said earlier on that you'd been out door knocking already. What sort of responses are you getting from people? What concerns people?
Well, surprisingly enough, I was surprised to find in one area that the issue of buses was still a problem. Parking was another one I found. Amongst the young people was just disillusionment, which I found, you know, the young people, they are the future, and they just almost think, what is the point in voting?
But that's just, that again, that's a rite of passage, isn't it? That's the job of a young person, to be disillusioned with politics.
I think it is, but with education we've got now, where they really... and. With the age reduction in voting, I think voting has now... I mean, I haven't been to school for a while, obviously, nor have you.
No.
But the drive now is very much towards getting people in interested in politics, interested in their community, in the country.
And do you think it works? Do you think that votes for 16-year-olds was a good move?
I don't know, because... I've got to be honest, I don't know, because I do remember... a 16-year-old girl across, not a friend of mine, I'd point out, but when Ted Heath was going to be elected, she said she wasn't going to vote for him because she didn't want her money to go to him. And she actually thought all the tax went to him, and then he distributed it out accordingly. And I'm sure people things have moved on.
Well, at 16, she couldn't have voted for him over there anyway, I don't suppose.
I know. No, yeah.
I just wonder at 16 whether or not you know enough about life in general to be able to influence the selection of a government for a nation like the Isle of Man.
Yes, I must admit, it would be an issue that I personally have wondered often. And really, it comes down to the individual. I think the quality of education now is better. People have grown up so much more now than what they were. And I think they're quite switched on, to be honest with you.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Talking to Peter Hill, who's the Liberal Vanning Party candidate for Douglas North in the election on September the 29th. So, Peter, you've been knocking on the doors, you've been talking to people. From what you just said, it sounds very much as though those are constituency issues. And given that you've got a background in local authority politics, aren't those matters really that the commissioners should be sorting out rather than our nationally elected government?
I think they probably are, but maybe... there is scope to devolve some of the local authority issues to the local authorities so that government can concentrate on what it's actually there for, i.e. Central government. But in the end, every constituency is dependent on the national aspect, and the national aspect is dependent on the way the Isle of Man is seen in the world. So it does ricochet on, but in the end, you must never lose touch with the people who've actually... got out of their beds and voted for you.
Yeah.
And you've got to operate there, but you've also got to have your foot firmly in the other camps to make sure that when you represent them at home, you are representing them in the overall situation.
Given that you've been involved in local authority politics, you're hoping to step up to national politics. Do you think that, I mean, certainly one of the things that's been discussed and debated ad nauseum since I first got interested in Manx politics is the idea of local authority reform. Have you got any views on that?
Well, actually, I have. And this is an area where... I did make a comment yesterday about how the government has been secretive and withholding information, We do know for a fact that one of the department ministers was tasked to perform a report on local government. We also know for a fact that that report was completed and it's been sat on the Chief Minister's desk now for more than 3 months. But what I'd like to know is, a lot of candidates are talking about local government reform. Well, the previous Council of Ministers has had that report. Am I to understand it's so unpopular and it might interfere with the overall structure of the forthcoming Tynwald if it was released now? I mean, I don't know. And
well, critics might say that that the government does spend taxpayers' money on reports that it then doesn't release, but I don't know about
that. I know, but we've had so many of these, and I'm sorry, Mr. Cynical Head here.
Good. And so what are the national issues that people are talking to you about on the doorstep? Well, VAT agreement, I would think.
I think primarily it's a source of income, which obviously VAT is the one that slapped people in the face quite substantially lately, because that is going to, the impact that is going to cascade down towards our services and the general, the way we do things in the Isle of Man.
Because, it's got to do, hasn't it? It's such a huge cut in our income.
It's inevitable. But we've got to be really careful, and this is where Liberal Vannon is very, very keen, is let's cut out the waste. Let us see what services that government provides now that probably a government shouldn't provide.
Yes.
That could be outsourced without losing the identity that those services actually generate for the Isle of Man.
Isn't that a Pandora's box, though? Once you open that box of privatisation, then you've got to take the bad with the good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the trouble is, at the moment, we don't have a Freedom of Information Act, so we actually don't know what's in Pandora's box. And until we find out, we're not really going to know. So from that point of view, it is quite difficult. But even if you go down the road of privatisation, what we don't want to do is sell off our assets to some investment bank on the other side of the world that doesn't know where the Isle of Man is and probably couldn't care anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can privatise things and still keep a toehold in it, so they can't do that. So you actually do keep some form of control over the destiny of that service.
Well, that's a bit like the user agreement that we've got with the steam packet, I suppose.
Yes, I know, but I actually think the government sold out on that one, really. I mean, I think they could have had slightly more on that. But, I mean, another possibility, of course, is, well, don't privatise things. Set up your own government, your own company, run it on commercial basis, so it is profitable and independent, but you've still got it. And
you say that the Isle of Man should have had a plan B in relation to the VAT income.
Yeah.
But isn't our fate in relation to the VAT revenue that we receive in the hands of the UK government? I mean, can we have plan Bs and plan Cs for every possible contingency?
I think you've got to, because, I mean, again, with the greatest respect to the previous governments, I wasn't sort of really here with that they must have known with the VAT sharing arrangement that it was overly generous, because even people in the UK would say to me, how on earth can you afford this? There's only 80,000 people there. Well, somebody knew, and if they knew, why on earth didn't they think, well, one day Father Christmas is going to come along and take this away? So at least if you've got something, there might not be, you might have looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and found, well, actually, there's nothing we can do. We're at the mercy of the UK. But there's always something you can do. There's always a way around these problems. For example, it may even be that you might determine that the VAT agreement is just no longer tenable. Maybe we should consider our own form of taxation and deal with it that way.
I would have thought that government probably looked at that fairly carefully, because it wasn't that the ultimatum that we were given. If you don't like it, then let's lump it and scrap the whole thing.
It
and
is.
Our government decided that it was very much in the interest of the Isle of Man to stay as part of this.
Yes, because, I mean, that's exactly the point. The government decided, but we weren't given the opportunity to sort of find out. And maybe if the government had been a little bit more open about it with the people who'd put them there. And in the end, we are the people who pay the taxes. And, you know, a bit of openness. And we need to all work together now, because this is big time. And
a lot of the candidates that I'm talking to talk about freedom of information and openness and transparency of government. I worry that there are certain things that shouldn't be on the table for everybody to see all the time. Government needs to be able to keep some secrets, surely, doesn't it, in terms of negotiations?
I agree with you, absolutely. But you can still keep people informed to the point that you're not just saying, well, it's none of your business. You can still let people know what you're doing, that, you know, we haven't just brushed it under the carpet. We are dealing with this. There is a problem with this. You can talk to people in an intelligent manner and embrace them, because in the end, we're going to take the bullet.
Do you think so? Because, you know, everybody in the Isle of Man has an opinion, don't they? So if the government is constantly consulting the public about every single thing that it does, is it going to get anywhere? Surely what we need to do on September the 29th is to elect some good people who can take the interests of the Isle of Man to heart and to fight on our behalf with people like the UK government, but not necessarily keep coming back to us and saying, how do you think we're doing? Are you happy with us to do this? Shall we do that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I still think, and particularly now, where there's been so much sort of disillusionment with government and politicians. I mean, not many people like politicians. I mean, I hope if I'm successful, I hope I can live with myself. I'm sure I will do, because each time I get up, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror. And
slightly more popular than estate agents and lawyers, I think, still.
Well, I don't know. I think you're pushing it there, Stu.
So the VAT is a big challenge, and, you know, people are concerned on the doorstep about local issues. What else has been coming through?
Well, I mean, surprisingly, it's, again, with voting, people just aren't interested. I mean, I spoke to someone who was an academic the other day who just isn't interested. Now, you're trying to persuade him, you know. And but I think public services, they talked about education and health and these issues in sort of broad terms. But very often you'll hear people say, oh, well, they did it, and they. And then you say, who's they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they. No, who is they?
Yeah, isn't that one of the problems, though, that the new government is going to have to make some unpopular decisions, and all the candidates that I'm talking to are saying vitally important that we maintain our frontline services and that health and education don't suffer from cuts. Mm. Isn't it inevitable that we're going to have to cut deeply to the bone in all these areas over the next 5 years?
I actually don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I know where you're coming from, but until we know what matters are being wasted, I mean, there might be a pot of gold out there, money that's being thrown away left, right and centre. Let's really hone down Isle of Man Limited into the most efficient machine possible, where there is no wastage, that money can be redeployed to areas where it's really needed, to really preserve our core services and build from there. And then if you find out, hang on, we're struggling, then you're going to have to get the old surgeon's knife out and start doing some doctoring.
That's probably going to make politicians in the Isle of Man even less popular, though, isn't it? Because for the last however many years, politicians have been able to dig into very deep pockets and fund all sorts of schemes and then tell the electorate, ah, well, we did it for you and, you know, we spent money in this area and whatever. Not going to be able to do that. And in fact, the politicians are the ones who are going to have to be saying no to people more often.
Yeah, but I think the Manx people and the people of the Isle are actually alert to the fact that there are going to have to be changes. You know, as much as you don't want to, I can't think of anybody I've spoken to who hasn't accepted the fact that there is going to be change, because there's got to be.
And so do you think it's maybe a positive then, rather than being gloomy about the next 5 years? Do you think it's a good opportunity for us to turn Isle of Man PLC into a lean, mean fighting machine kind of thing?
I think it's going to be very exciting, but the key thing is we've just got to stick together on this, and you know, we've got to stop the infighting and really crack on, because we're in this together. Otherwise, we're going to end up in the Irish Sea.
Yeah. But isn't that what the Lib Vans are about so far, is in terms of fighting government on virtually everything? And Peter would probably say that it's scrutiny and it's debate, but, you know, it is seen, if you listen to Tim Wall debates and House of Keys questions, Peter Caron is the person who votes against everything that government wants to do. Do we need that over the next 5 years? Do we need more people doing that? Or shouldn't we all be singing from the same hymn sheet?
Well, I think that's quite a sort of, it's a very good point, but I do tend to think quite possibly if there's a bit more information coming out of the government, maybe we'd not have to ask so many questions, possibly.
You don't think that there's too much consultation on things?
There's a lot of consultation that goes on where the decision has already been made.
Yes,
which I find, what is the point of consulting with somebody when you've already, I mean, they were going to put some signs up somewhere. They put the signs up and then the consultation document came out. And I thought, what's the point?
Yeah.
You've done it.
We're pretty much out of time, but Peter Hill, tell us why the people of Douglas North ought to vote for you on September the 29th.
Well, I would hope that they'll vote for me on the basis that you now have the opportunity to vote for an individual who will always do what he says. I'm totally committed to that. People in Loughnham can certainly vouch for that. I have integrity. I know how to look after people. I also know what the broader picture is. And the policies and policy statement of the Liberal Vanning Party, I believe, is the policy statement for the future. And it's the future of change as we're going to get it. And
excellent. Peter Hill, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks very much for coming in today. No doubt we'll talk again before the election. Thank you.
I hope so.